Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Kevin Neal. Kevin is an author, a speaker, and a leadership coach. He's also the owner and CEO of Building Bridges Number 2 Better. So Bridges 2 Better. I like that. I like those things when people put it in there. He engages audiences by inspiring them to connect with their true purpose on planet Earth and utilizing their gifts that they already have, creating positivity within leaders and individuals. He is also a doctoral candidate. I'd like to talk about that if we have time. And an ordained minister. He and his wife of 40 years live in Greenville, South Carolina. I believe I was there many moons ago. I used to be an engineer in the medical field, travel all over the place. And I think I love South Carolina, North Carolina. They have adult daughters, correct?
3 adult daughters and 1 adult son.
Okay, so you basically had, you and your son had no bathroom.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you a grandpa?
Yes, I am. I have 1 grandson and 2 granddaughters.
Oh, congratulations. That's a blessing. How old?
My grandson just turned 14 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
You look too young to have these kids that old. Wait, grandkids and all. How are the other ones?
And my granddaughter, my oldest one is 5, and the youngest one will be 1 next month.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. It's so enjoyable to be able to do that because being grandparent, I'm not a grandparent yet. But being grandparents, you can spoil them and then just send them back.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great thing.
It's a nice advantage.
And you learn that the second time around much better than when, you know, you first had your kids. You know, the second group is always better.
Yeah, and you didn't have a clue what you were doing. It's like people are always trying to look for books on things. I'm like, you know, it's one of those things that you just figure out along the way. It's like, I'm going to do it this way. I'm like, no, it just doesn't always work out. It is what it is. It's a great thing, but they also reflect what they see and what they hear in what you do. I mean, it's amazing because kids and even grandkids are just magnets. They're sponges.
Yeah.
So they see something, they just, good or bad, they pick it up. So I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Phil.
I want to ask you right off the top, because you've got a lot of stuff. What was the serendipity? What was the coincidence? What was the accident in your life? You didn't just do these things in your life. And it just, I just wake up, I'll be an ordained minister and doctoral stuff and all this other stuff at your business. What was that guidance that guided you? It's like, I think I better go there. It keeps pushing me there that got you to where you are today.
I've always felt a call to pull me toward helping people, to lift people up, to strengthen people. Even when I was in school, and by the way, I started ministry when I was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But when I was in school, I would have people to come to me. There was something that they noticed about me that they saw that they could talk to me or that they saw that they could, you know, share things with me. I was always told that you're too serious. You have this serious air about you. And this was as a young kid. And it was just on me. I always felt this desire to see how I could help, see how I could bring light to where there was darkness, to open the eyes of those who were blinded by certain things or certain aspects of life. And it just kind of morphed into these different areas of my life, from ministry to military to firefighter to all this. Is just an outreach from that.
Serving.
Yes.
Serving. And so it's interesting because my parents died a few years ago. I'm spoiled. My parents were together for 65 years, 91, wow. 86 when they died. They were together for about 70. So wow. I'm going to always, somebody said it had to be a love story. I still see them in my mind today. Mm-hmm. And I found some cards that I wrote when I was littler. And I don't know when I say happy birthday and God bless, you know, and or just certain things about God. And I don't remember doing that, but there was always something that was pointing me in that direction.
It's interesting because we were talking before record. He noticed I play music and I've written a musical and blah, blah, blah. But these things have always been pulling in anything I've ever written for lyrics, always pulls me back to my wife, my family, and God every single time. And I try to go, well, I'm not a preacher and I don't want to be, but it just keeps pushing me that way. Mm-hmm. And when I try to push it away, I would pull it, pulling me. And when I try to push it away, it just didn't work. I didn't feel right. And it's interesting you say that because people come up to me and start talking. And my wife, when we first got married, she goes, what is it with you? People just tell you everything. And it's some kind of energy that we've been given.
Right.
And it's a blessing because people feel comfortable talking to us about stuff. When I do talking about Agenoi and I do it at the health club, I do it at these different places I'm at. People sit there and go, I saw it once, but I want to come back again. But this is how you changed my life, communicated to my grandmother or my mother. I'm like, please talk to me. Tell me. Because it's making that difference. You're doing something that's above and beyond what you think you should do. And when I do these things, I'm sure you feel the same way. You get this rush of feeling. So when you're preaching, when you're doing things, when you're out there doing your business and you're communicating, how do these things make you feel?
You know, that's funny because I had somebody once tell me, and by nature, I'm kind of a quiet guy. I'm laid back, you know, just kind of what you would call an introvert.
Okay.
And I had this one guy tell me years ago, he said, man, you're Superman, you're Clark Kent, you know, all the while. But then when you're up speaking or sharing, you become Superman. Yeah. And you're a totally different person. And that's also something that my wife says. She says, I know when you're helping, when you're speaking, when you're coaching, she said, you're in your element. She said that's a total different you. And that's all I can say is once I get into that place, there's something that comes over me that is totally different. I feel free. I feel alive. I feel open to do what I'm called to do and to share what's within me. And I tell you the truth. There are things sometimes that I share with people that I think, wow, where did that come from? You know, because I'd never thought that before. That has never come from me. You know, it's like something comes from my mouth that, you know, who said that?
Right.
Yeah. And it's really crazy, you know, and then sometimes I said, man, I wish I had written that down because, you know,
right.
Forget it. So right after you say it, you're gone.
Oh, yeah. It's gone. Yes.
Yeah. But it's an amazing thing because I just opened myself up to, and I'll say God, because that's who I serve. That's who I feel this calling, this gift is given to me from. So I open myself up to God and he just speaks through me. He just uses me to share whatever he wants me to share.
What is it saying? You know, let go, let God.
Yes.
Trust in God. And in this philosophy, I say the universal mind, spirit, and angels. But the universal mind, I've done a lot of research on this. There's over 100 names for God in the world. And I'm going back hundreds of years. Some of them probably don't even exist anymore. Atman, Krishna, the Force. It's not necessarily Star Wars. There's a culture that calls it the Force and the One. So this, it's interesting because when you get in touch with those things, at least from the way I believe, universal mind, spirits, and angels, and you pray and meditate, and then it creates these serendipity, accidents, and coincidences, these things that are put in front of you. We don't listen to them all the time. It's like, oh, what am I talking to Kevin for? It's just a nice conversation. I don't believe that. I believe that there's a purpose and a reason for every conversation. Absolutely. It doesn't matter whether you talk to the person again, you make a difference. People listening to the show, if they pick one little thing out of it, and you'll never know. How many times have you taught that no one comes up to you and go, Kevin, you've changed my life? Maybe that happens once in a while, but majority of the time, it probably doesn't happen. But you're right. When you're up there and you're full of God, you're full of the spirit, and it just comes out and the energy just comes out. You're like, it's like you're not really talking you. You're talking, you're just an empty tube going, this is coming out now. It's time for me to communicate this. And it's touching people in ways that are just above and beyond where you could do it in a normal way that you would think. And it's interesting to say you're an introvert, but when you're an extrovert, when you're out there talking, and when you see people turn the light on in their face and you feel that energy that you're exchanging, one of the things that, you know, we went through, the world went through is I believe people are understanding the realization we need people. We need to be together. We need hugs. We need kisses. We need handshakes. We need high fives. We need that energy. And it's very important to be able to do that. One of the things I saw that you saying Albert Einstein, I love Albert Einstein. Imagination is more powerful than knowledge.
Yes.
And I want you to expand on that, because one of my favorites is it's imagination is the preview of coming attractions. So could you please expand on that? More powerful than knowledge, imagination. Please expand on that.
Because knowledge is encapsulated in time and space. What we know is what we know up until now. And often we stop right there because the knowledge that we have, we feel that that is the end all and be all, which when we do that, we limit ourselves from moving further. When you have imagination, however, your imagination goes beyond that. Your imagination goes not from what you know, but from what can be. It goes.
Say that again. I love the way it's set. Go.
Knowledge is not from what we know, but from what we can be.
Oh.
What can be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the thing is, when we open our imagination, it's not what has been done before or what has been accomplished before, but it's what can be accomplished. What is the possibility? And you go from not just the standards. And that is one thing that I talk about in the book, is that we are so consumed, especially in the education field, with standards, and imagination is pretty much just wiped off the map. We want our children to follow these guidelines, to fall within this parameter, and don't think outside the box. You know, we're told that from the early childhood, don't color outside the line. You know, which we lose so much imagination. I think I read when I was doing the research for this book that at the age of 7, the imagination begins to deplete or it stops growing, because children are taught follow the lines, you know, follow the parameters, follow the standard. And so that time for imagination is just kind of, you know, thrown out the window. But when we open that imagination, and I'm a firm believer that there's so many unsolved problems, there's so many uncured diseases that have not been done because imagination has been diminished. So,
agreed. Everything you said, it's like when we're little, we're told, you know, you're playing with pots and pans, you're doing coloring outside the lines. I forget about that. You know, you get the coloring book. Don't color outside the lines. And we need the education, obviously. We need to learn how to read and write and remit. And you're not saying that that's not a bad thing.
Right.
But the problem is somebody had to invent a chair. We were all sitting on the ground. Somebody had, my pants were falling down. Somebody had to invent a belt. That didn't come from knowledge of general reading, writing, arithmetic, which we need. But the imagination is, we're talking through imagination.
Right.
Where, I mean, I'm assuming we're around the same age, and remember, theaters used to be one theater. Then suddenly there were multiplexes. Somebody that's gonna fail, and they're everywhere. Somebody said, you know, we're gonna have a computer the size of your hand. You know, but these are just things now. I mean, we're talking about Einstein. Right. We talk about the Wright brothers. We talk about there's so many things that people invented, all sorts of things that we use every day, and there's inventions. I look back at the invention of the piano. And it was like somebody in Germany, he didn't really get credit for it, but because they're basically, it's a guitar with notes, you know, because it has tightened strings. And people had to come up with these concepts, shoes, shoelaces, glasses. At some point, you and I couldn't see without them. We wouldn't be able to have it. I mean, now I have computer glasses just for the computer, but imagination is the one that did it. But the knowledge that we're being taught through school and stuff, we're able to use to be able to get that adjusted and used in math and science. But you're right. But to have the imagination, I believe, you have to give the spiritual side of your mind to be open. Mm-hmm. Because if you listen to somebody in the outside saying, you know, Kevin, you need to do it this way. And then you go to the next person that said, Kevin, you need to do this way. Phil doesn't know what he's talking about. And then so-and-so it keeps going around and around. I'm like, well, none of this works for me because that's not the way I think. And you were talking about diseases and sickness and whatever that disease is in the mental side or the physical side. Mm-hmm. And if we walk around in our minds constantly, all the time, and we're looking at stuff on the outside, engaging what we're supposed to, our thoughts that we're thinking on the inside, we're a wreck. And because those negative thoughts, they have horrible consequences on our physical body, because where else is it going? It's not going to the floor. It's not going to a microphone or TV it's going into your body. And then somebody was saying, well, you know, you're saying that everything, because I believe everything starts with the mind. I think everything is in the mind, the conscious, the subconscious, negative and positive. Mm-hmm. And if you do this, let's say at the age of zero, and then you were born, now you're 1 year old, and you started with the negativity. By the time you're 20, you'd probably be dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you did, if that's all you lived on, but how do you connect with, when you're talking to people, how do you connect with them to say, hey, you know what? Your inner knowing knows, your Ajahnoi, your soul knowledge, knowledge of your soul, your whatever you want to call it, you're the spirit that's inside you. Yeah, you became an engineer or you became whatever, but you've always had this calling. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow it, there's emptiness. As you get older, then you then are told that, well, at a certain age, you can't expand anymore. You can't do this. If that's the case, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
All right.
I'm out of my second life. I'm more excited about this than what I was doing as an engineer in the medical field.
Yeah.
So how do you communicate that to people going, you're your own worst enemy type thing, but there's something lying in you and you're the only, how do you bring that out of them so they understand there's more to what you are?
Yeah. I think that one thing that I try to do is show people that there is something in your life that has been drawing you from childhood. There's something in your life that you have been doing. It may not have been your vocation. It may have not been something that you're paid to do, but it's something that you have been doing. And when you do it, it activates you. It brings you life. It invigorates you. And whatever it is that you're doing, it's helping people. Because I don't believe any gift that is given is given for us alone. It's giving to help people. And those things that have been drawing you are not by accident. Those things that make you alive are not by accident. It's not just something conjured in your mind, but this is something that has been ingrained in you. This is part of who you are. This is your gift to humanity. This is what you have been called to do. And whether you're doing it by vocation, whether you're doing it just, you know, on the side or whatever, it is what you have been called to do, and you will never be completely happy. You'll never be completely fulfilled until you are doing what you have been called to do.
And the more we talked about this before we record, the more the more force against it,
mm-hmm.
you pull it, and it's like you're pushing there. It's keep pushing you into it. Mm-hmm. I was sharing with Kevin that when I started this several years ago, I haven't been doing this that long. I was doing music, and every time I was writing, it always come back to family and spirituality and God. I wouldn't say it, but if you know, because everybody hears something different what you say, right?
Right.
So you hear God, you hear spirituality, you just hear really good words, and it means something to me. For me, it kept pushing me back. So a friend of mine, his name is Jeff. I've known him for a number of years. He goes, why are you fighting against this? I said, well, I'm not really fighting. He goes, yeah, I'm listening to your words. I'm listening to what you're talking. He's my buddy. I want you to tell me we're friends. I don't want you to go, great job. And it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, stop fighting against it. And I guess I was more, I didn't want to be preachy. That's not my vocation. That's not my calling. But my calling is to share something spiritual. The last thing I did, I did at the library locally, because it's a fairly new philosophy. It started in March of this year, 2023. And I finally got to play on a grand piano one of my songs. And I'm like, and it was called Transformation. The first part of the composition before I start speaking is called Caterpillar. And what does a caterpillar turn into?
Mm-hmm.
A butterfly. And I played it at the end. And the reason why I'm saying this is you know, I felt like I was 20 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. People were listening. People were engaged. People were laughing. People, and I felt like I'm just like, I'm giving this information because I'm not smart enough. I don't have this information. I don't even know where it came from. I do know where it came from. It came from above, but it came from the spirits, the spirit angels, and all the universal mind, all these things. And the more I get in touch with it, the more I connect with it. You were saying that trying to get people to understand between imagination and their inner knowing, what gives them joy? And it could be just a minute thing. It could be bowling. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it's something that gives you joy, and then you communicate that joy to somebody else, empowering others, empowers themselves, do unto others, you now empowered somebody else. And then that person empowers somebody else, and that person empowers somebody else. But it's got to start with imagination. I totally agree. And and one of the things I wanted to mention was, and I wanted your point of view on this, it's not really comfortable. Right. You're not comfortable. So how do you do that? Because when you're pivoting between in the philosophy and in life, when you're pivoting between a negative and positive, you're being comfortable, being uncomfortable in something you're familiar with. You just stay there your whole life. I want to do that because it's too risky. I don't have any new folders, new information. How do you tell somebody, because human beings, it turns into a habit or routine. I'm going back to being comfortable. I don't know anything. And it could be like watering the grass, right? There's dirt, you know, and somebody comes, coming nowhere. It's like, Phil, it's just dirt. Why are you watering that dirt? Nothing's coming out. Like, it'll happen. Give it time. Another year later. There's nothing there. You're wasting your time. It's, oh, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And suddenly it's like, oh, I see a little grass there. But you got to keep doing it. So how do you tell people, like, to stick with it, or not tell them, but how do you teach them how to the stick with itness part? Because people are easy to just stop doing it, and it could be right before it starts happening.
I totally understand where you're coming from with that, because the uncomfortableness comes from, we live in a society that does not value imagination. It values productivity. And when you're not productive in the eyes of this culture, then what you're doing doesn't matter. And creativity, imagination is not something that's, it's not ordered or it's not, how can I say this? It's not put in a sense of productivity.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
It comes over a sense of value and over a sense of what it's accomplishing during the time, over the process. And we are so productivity mindset that we say, oh, if it's not happening right now, then, you know, let's move on. Let's do something that's productive. And even though we see that trying to be so concerned with productivity, we end up losing value. We end up losing a sense of what is good and what is right and what is perfect. We end up creating products that are not worth anything, or that are just duplications of the past. So we end up not really advancing anything. You know, I noticed how. And I'm sure you've seen this too. If you're a movie lover like I am, how it seems like there's no more creativity in the movie making. Everybody is just doing a remake of somebody else's movie. It's all just rehashed. Yep. And why is that? Why is that? Where has the creativity? Where has the imagination gone? You know, it's easy. It's easy to recreate something that's already created.
Yeah.
But put a new name on it, put a new face on it, and we're good.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's the whole mindset of productivity. Put a new face on it, put a new label on it, put it in a new box, put it in a new can. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is why it's so uncomfortable, because we're faced with this in between this culture of productivity and this feeling that I want to be imaginative, this pulling on me to go toward what I know I'm created to do. So I'm uncomfortable because there's pressure there. There's always that tension pulling us you know, one way or the other. So what am I going to do? Am I going to follow this culture of productivity, or am I going to follow what I'm called to do?
And it, but that's a very tough call. When I saw, I mean, I was in the medical field for over 25 years and x-ray tubes and all this other stuff. And when I saw the writing on the wall, I said to my wife, it's like, I wasn't sleeping and that's not me. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you know, you always want to do your music. Why don't you just do it now? I'm like, but I, what do I, so the kids are growing up. We're in a good place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. And there were some certain things that happened. And I, of course, I had some contract jobs. I had, you know, on the side and built up some money to buy equipment and whatever. But I had faith and I had hope, but gives me mm-hmm. options. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't go down that road, if I didn't go down that spiritual road, I wouldn't be talking to you now and I wouldn't be fulfilled in my life. Through this podcast show and through my Ajahnoy philosophy, I'm not scared of death.
Mm-hmm.
Death is just a transition.
Yes.
You can't see it. Now, because I'm a very heavy believer in spirituality about universal mind, spirits, and angels, I believe those things are there. When you feel the hair, I don't have any hair in my head, but when I feel the hair on my arms and you feel somebody in the house,
mm-hmm.
I literally say, I ask God, I say, I don't say a prayer that is, and I'm Jewish, we do like the Baruch Hu and different things. I mean, everybody has different prayers and whatever their faith and system is and their belief system mm-hmm. and religion is. But for us, we do this, and that's what I'm talking about. I go, God, I'm really screwing this up. I'm doing a bad job. And it's usually mm-hmm. a bad job or a bad relationship. Everybody can relate to that at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And when I do that, but I start meditating, and meditating is being in a spiritual sense for me to be able to be calm, whether I have music on or the lights are lower, I'm by myself, it's something that's quiet. And I want to go to sleep, because to me, sleep is when the spirits, angels, and God are speaking to me. Those are the things, if you're watching something negative before you go to bed, that's all you're going to dream about. The mind's mm-hmm. only going to focus on what it's thinking about, talking about, and feels. So if you're mm-hmm. doing that all the time, but to be able to get in there and have that freedom, it's so interesting you said that. It's so appropriate that you said that more than anything. That we are in that culture, we keep repackaging stuff. We just have a lot of stuff. We have a lot. And as far as I know, please clarify this. If you have, you'd be a billionaire. We can't take any of this with us.
Nope.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure there was nothing I didn't know. It's like, you don't look out there, hey, honey, look at it. Jim and Susie are gone. How do you know? The house is empty. You know, the property's gone. It's just grass.
Yeah.
And we don't live that long.
All right.
You know, it's like 82, 83 for men, 85, 86 for women. And even if you live to 100, so mm-hmm. it's more of being here now. And when you get plugged into it, however you do it, whatever, whether it's through what I talked about, what Kevin's talking about, by the way, what is your name of your book?
Name of my book is Embracing Your Superpower, Reactivating the Power of Imagination.
Okay. You know, go get his book. Go get his book, because I have probably close to 100 books and magazines, and I don't read the whole thing. I read little parts of it. And I put it down and I make notes. Or you were talking about when you say something and you're like, oh,
right.
What was that thing?
Right.
But that was something that you were spiritually connected in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for that time. And I used to get aggravated going, oh, why didn't I mark it down? It happened again. Don't worry about it. And but that rehashing, redoing the Beverly Hillbillies, a TV show into a movie, or, you know, there's a million of them out there.
Right.
And they keep redoing things. And it's more of the business sense. You know, we're going to make these movies because they make the most money and they're easy to do and we don't have to think about it.
Right.
It's all CG. There's no storyline. There's no, I mean, the original one might be really good, but then the rest is just following. And it's because of the internet. Mm-hmm. If the internet didn't exist, this stuff wouldn't happen. Now, I'm not saying the internet's bad, but there's a lot of negative stuff to it, because we get on these idiot boxes. I call it the idiot box for the phone and the idiot box for plugging the walls of the computer, because it's like another mind. And you can find anything you want to agree with it. Well, I feel that. I guess that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, you didn't do that. You had to talk to people. Right. And it's just interesting you say that, because you have to be able to be a little uncomfortable. Not that you're mortgaging your house, but you have to be a little uncomfortable. You got to pay your bills. We understand that. But go with that calling, because I'll tell you, it's, and I know you understand this, and I'm sure certain people in the audience, if not everybody, will understand it because they've been listening to the show for a while. I am tired at the end of the day, or after these interviews, because I'm expanding so much energy and mind energy, but it's all positive. And I listen, I listen to Kevin. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. Oh, I just learned something. Mm. And it's just amazing. That's why I love this show, because it's giving people little tidbits of something. Take whatever you do, take bits and pieces of it, learn from it. Maybe you're doing something you don't want to do. And I have a student right now who's like, well, I always liked making baskets or whatever she said. I can't remember, like something for giving it to people. I'm like, why don't you do that? Well, I can't make a living doing that. I said, how do you know? Well, people always want it from me. I go, that's pointing in that direction. Why don't you experiment? I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying stop doing what you're doing, but just experiment, because hobbies have turned into full-time jobs.
Right.
So I want to go into, we kind of already talked about this, but I want to expand it a little bit more on inner knowing and understanding that thing that makes you come alive. Like your wife was saying, you just become alive. I mean, there's a lot of entertainers who are boring when you talk to them, but when they're on stage, they come alive. So how do you tap into that? And because, there's something I want your point of view on. People mistake creativity as in you have to play an instrument or sing. How do you distinguish that? Because when I say, so, well, you play music or you sing or you're an artist, I'm not creative. That's not true. How do you bring that part out? Explain that.
Well, I think all of us have gifts and talents that are unique to us. It's not necessarily what someone else does or something that has never been seen before, but it's like, let me put it this way. It's like a filter. If I sing and you sing, we're both singing, but there's a filter in me that's going to bring out a certain flavor. Then there's a filter in you that's going to bring out a different flavor. And some people may like your flavor and some people may like my flavor, but you have been called to give that flavor to whoever you've been called to give it to. Mm-hmm. And who those people who don't receive what you're giving, they're not for you. And you just have to accept there's some people that I have been called to give this to, and there's some people that I'm not. I'm not going to waste my time or even get frustrated over those that I cannot reach, those that are refusing to receive. But what I am going to do is focus my attention on those that get me, those that get what I'm sharing, those who are really receiving value from what I'm putting out.
So you have to tap into
who is it that is receiving the value from what I'm sharing? Who is it that is receiving the enlightenment? Let me put it that way: enlightenment that I'm bringing forth. And okay, if those are the people who are receiving, that's who I've got to focus my attentions on, and not worry about anything else, because that's who I'm called to share this gift, this talent with.
You hit it perfectly. Not everybody's, a friend of mine saying, we're not pizzas. You know, I like cheese pizza with pepperoni. You're like,
right.
I want peanut butter and jelly pizza. You know, like that makes me bleh. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing right with that. It's just what's right for you, what works for you. As long as you're not hurting anybody, I always say, as long as you're not hurting small animals and children, do what you want. You know, and everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got a flavor. Everybody's got who they're communicating it to. And there's enough room for everybody. We work in a society where whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. How we do stuff, we get paid in money. That's how you get acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And that's how we pay our bills. This is the way the world is. It's not Star Trek. So we work like this, and people try to fight against it. I'm like, no, you know, but if you feel like, because I always, you know, I always want to donate money and donate time, because when you donate money, donate time, you're actually giving of yourself. And what happens, you get 100% back in return. And it's something you can't even explain. You can't put a name to it or even a feeling to, well, maybe a feeling, but it's a feeling of satisfaction that if I went to there and I spoke on what I'm doing, just like you have, and you're going to wherever, some people that can't afford to do it, you're doing it for free or mm-hmm. whatever. And suddenly you leave there and people are smiling. People are saying, thank you very much. People, I mean, you just made that difference. And it just, but it takes time. It takes yeah. time. Yes. And that's one thing that people don't want to do. And there's all those ideas and concepts. I always have this picture that if I'm laying on my deathbed and these angels and spirits all around me, and they're really mad and they're yelling at, I gave you this information, Philip. You did nothing with it. Mm-hmm. Now it's not going to go. It might go a little bit to somebody else, but that thing, the book you wrote, or the mm-hmm. the speech you made, or the business you opened, or whatever it is, you didn't do it, and you're dying. Those things are dying with you. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always think about. It's like, you can't do everything, but if you're doing what you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. and it makes you feel good, anybody can make a living. But if you're doing it for a purpose and a reason to make a difference, whether it's in front of people or behind the scenes, do it, because mm-hmm. you get old really fast.
Yes.
And then when you're older, you're like, I'm stuck in it. You're not, mm-hmm. but it's really hard to get out of that mindset.
Phil, I was thinking as you were speaking,
please,
that often the problem is we compare what we're doing with someone else. And I told my some of my coaching clients this recently. I said, competition is the killer of dreams. It causes you to be so concerned and so consumed with what somebody else is doing that you can't complete what you have been called to do, because you're competing with. I said, the only person that you should be competing with is yourself. You know, and when you get to that place where you can, compete with yourself, then you ought to be satisfied. I want to do better because I did this last year. I ought to be doing this year. Yeah. Not because I'm looking at somebody else with what they're doing. And when I understand that my gift and my calling is to who I am placed here to share it with, then I don't have to worry about what this other person is doing with what their calling is.
Yeah, no, you hit it right on the head. But we're human beings and we tend to compare mm-hmm. because I want to be that person. Well, you can't be that person. That person already is there already.
Right.
And I understand that people want fame, which is unreality and very fleeting. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
It means for that minute microsecond of being here now, but it just disappears. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'd rather have one friend than 100 people bringing me down. Mm-hmm. I'd rather when I go in, because again, what I'm speaking on is fairly new. So I'll have one person, or I'll two people, or I'll have 30 people. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter to me. And when I walk in somewhere and I'm like, there's 12, I don't count. My wife mm-hmm. usually comes with me. She's supporting me in doing this. And she goes, I counted 14. I counted 20. But she knows it doesn't matter. But it's very hard as an ego Mm-hmm. driven thing that we're taught. We mm-hmm. have to be popular. We have to be accepted. Mm-hmm. not everybody's going to want to watch you or listen to you. It's mm-hmm. not supposed to be that way. But to get into your inner knowing, to understand who you are, to, one of the things that is amazing to me, that God designed fingerprints that's unique to every person.
Right.
It's like a psychic signature. It mm-hmm. blows my mind. Not one fingerprint. I saw it on a James Bond movie one time where he changed it, but that's a whole nother story. That was Q. I love Q. But in general, it's one fingerprint. Mm-hmm. One, it's not the same. It's been here for forever and way after we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And like the heart, mm-hmm. when the sperm meet the egg and you go, human beings created, where does it? It's not like we take solar power. It's not like you're putting gasoline in. How does the heart work? I'm not talking about the physiology of it or even the love part of it. I'm just talking about just something created. God created. Something created this thing that we cannot reproduce. We try, but we can't reproduce it. And it's just, there's so many different things in the body that are just like planet Earth. Mm-hmm. We're mostly water. Planet Earth is mostly water.
Right.
I found this interesting. I was looking at something about galaxies. So we're the only galaxy that actually has seasons. because either the planets are too close to the sun and burn up, or they're too far away and they're frozen. Mm-hmm. And there's this magnetic field in the center of planet Earth that goes 23 degrees. Yeah. It changes.
Amazing.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and when somebody is, you know, saying, you know, oh, well, I watch Star Trek and Geordi's on there adjusting the weather, I'm like, that's a great thing. It's sort of fun to do. We're not that way. We're not supposed to be. But it's just interesting to see different fields that are around the planet that take the space dust away. I'm like, it's almost like you could go crazy trying to think about it. But again, it's thinking above that something's here. And if we have little empty pods, we're little empty pods, and we get in touch and plug in. And Kevin can teach you how to do that. Kevin can help you how to do that. Read this book. Take the book. Tell name of the book again, please.
Embracing Your Superpower, Reactivating the Power of Imagination.
There you go. I mean,
and circling and Phil, circling back to that from what you were just speaking of.
Please.
I thought about what type of imagination God must have in order to create this. I mean, this universe. I mean, the intricate mechanisms that make everything work. And even our human bodies, how intricate they are and how they work together, all the little different organs work in conjunction with this one. And wow. I mean, who could imagine something like that?
Nope. Yeah. God. Yeah. You're right. Yes. But isn't God imagination?
Yes. 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 Yes.
And he gave us that gift, but we don't use it enough. We're going kind of round it back again to that. But you're right. Just all the functions. When I go out on the deck, well, I'm in the Midwest, so can't always go out on the deck because it's snowing. But I'll go out there and I'm like, why did God have me see that squirrel? Well, why did I see that bee? Why did I see that leaf? And I look at, I do something. I say, thank you for the angels of the wind, the spirits in the clouds, and the blue sky of God. I say this prayer all the time. I do a certain thing with my fingers. And I do this every morning. I do it several times a day. And I always thank God. Like when I wake up in the morning, I go, you know, it's my pulse. As far as I know, I'm still alive. I've never been dead, so I'm not sure. I could still have a pulse. I don't know. And I get up, I go, thank you for the ceiling fan. Thank you for the toothbrush. Thank you for the, and because the more you train yourself to do these things, the more those old noisy things kind of get into the background. That's something I wanted to go into about the difference between teaching, coaching, and inspiring. Is there a difference? And if there is, how do you define that?
Okay. Yes, there is a difference. Teaching is bringing forth information and knowledge, sharing maybe new concepts, new ideas with those who are participants. Whereas coaching, you're helping the client or the coachee, helping them to pull out of themselves answers that are already there. They're just covered up by other things, by maybe past knowledge, by past experience, by influences from people around them. But you pull out those answers from within. So a coach helps that person to pull out those answers that are already there. They just have to uncover them.
Right. How about inspiring?
Inspiring. Inspiring can be in teaching. It could be in teaching. It could be in coaching. In speaking, especially, you bring out something that maybe has never been seen by the person before. You cause them to see what they haven't seen. You cause them to hear what they haven't heard. You cause them to understand what they have not understood.
Okay.
And it's like a light bulb coming on in them. And they see this light bulb and all of a sudden things are clear. And because you brought that out in your speech or in your talk, in your sermon, in your teaching, it caused that light to go on.
Yeah, it's I think being consciously aware and not going, we've talked about all these things. Don't go with the flow, what everybody else is doing. Just because somebody's doing it, and we're talking about the movies or TV shows or anything, you know, when I started this podcast, I don't know, I just prayed and meditated on it. It's like, name came conscious communication, like, oh, okay. And I had to trust in the faith that what, you mentioned something earlier, and I had a note on it, I wanted to talk about this. If you weren't given it, these things that you believe you should do, God would not have given you something that you're incapable of doing.
Right, right.
But it goes back to bad relationship, bad job. It's like, you know what? I'm going to pray. God, I'm really doing a bad job. All right, now I'm going to watch television. Oh, no, maybe I'll go watch a movie. No, maybe I'll go have some beers with my buddies. It's not a bad thing, but then you come back home and you're still frustrated.
All right.
So when somebody says, well, I'm just waiting for it to happen, I'm like, good luck with that, because God gives you that imaginational mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see these images, but then you got to come out, talk about the body. The physical body is going to come out and do a process and procedure. It's got to do a task. It's got to go do it like you're doing. You're speaking, you're writing a book, you're doing whatever. It doesn't matter. You've got to do a task. Because if you don't, it's not just going to fall out of the air. It's not like if you're praying, I need a new car because my car's running out, and you're at a dead-end street, and the car just comes crashing in. I'm like, oh, here's my car. It didn't. Doesn't work that way.
Right,
You need, but it takes effort, and it takes, we've talked about this already, it takes a lot of faith. Mm-hmm. And the times where I was a singer many years ago, his name was Billy Ocean, and I loved his voice, and somebody interviewed him, said, you know, you're an overnight sensation. He goes, yeah, for 15 years. You know, but he honed his skill. And I think that's the most important thing that I'm learning for myself, is the more I'm talking in front of people, doing these type of shows, doing it live, because I want to do the business organically, because I that's the only way I want to do this. And this type of thing, it takes a while to figure it out. Yeah, you have an innate ability to share and talk, but there's certain processes and things that, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things that's really scary, I had a blank. I'm talking and my mind totally went blank. And I'm like, immediately while I'm there, I didn't want to say or this or So I said, God, please help me. And I don't remember what happened, but it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that the mind is fearful. When you go and do something that is not, like you said, the norm, you know, you're not getting the regular job, or you're not doing it. Just go back in time, go to the library or go to the internet. I like going to the library because it gives me better factoids, and see about the millions of inventions that no one even got. I mean, like I said, the person who invented the piano, it's just, it goes on and on and on. Be a little uncomfortable if you're just a tiny bit, but it gives you satisfaction, and you know that it's something that's inside your soul. You just got it made. Another thing is, you're our star in your own movie. And, you know, we're the stars, we're the directors, but we don't even give a walk-on part to ourselves. How do you tell people that, you know, when you see something out there going, oh, I wish I could do that. How do you tell them? It's like, you can in your own way. How do you tell them that? How do you kind of like light that fire?
Well, you said something just now that kind of sparked something. I tell people that your life is a book. Your whole life is a book. And whether you write it or not, and I don't mean literally, but figuratively.
Right.
Whether you write it or not depends upon how you choose to live your life. If you never, let me put it this way. Most people end up reading their lives rather than writing their lives.
Ooh, wait a minute. Say it again.
Most people end up reading their lives rather than writing their lives.
Excuse me, just a second. Keep the thought. Conscious community audience, please mark that down. Continue on.
And what I mean by that is people go around and accepting what people say about them, expecting people's expectations of them, and taking them to heart and saying, okay, well, this is who I am. This is what I'm supposed to. And not really writing their own story. What is in your heart? What do you feel called to do? This is another thing that I tell people all the time. I say, if you're not the main character or the headliner in your story, then you are probably just a walk-on in somebody else's. You're just, you know, a secondhand person that they have created in their story.
Yeah, you're getting out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to do what they tell you to do. You have to, and you really don't get any credit. You're really just somebody that's in the background,
right?
And if you want to live your life like that, sure, fine, go ahead. But the thing is, you are created to create your own story, to write your own story. Yes, I believe that God has plans for us, and He has a overall idea and pathway for us to go. But the way that we take individually, it depends upon what we want to do and how we do it. And if we want to allow people to dictate that to us, then we become an extra in their story. But if you really want to live your own story, know your own story, write your own story, then you have to start doing it now. You have to start doing it. And it takes cutting off a lot of the external influences and really searching yourself. Who am I? What have I been called to do? What is it that brings me life? What is it that makes me alive, that invigorates me? What is it that I do that really brings that sense within my life? You know, most people don't even research it enough of themselves to figure that out, because they're so busy doing what everybody else has told them they should do.
Right.
What's going to bring me money? What's going to, you know, make me famous? What's going to do? And they really have not really researched themselves to find out what it is that makes me alive.
The university of the mind. Take the time. Be in the silence. Stop. It's really one of the things I did. My wife and I took this one class that I found, and I can't remember her name, but she was talking about the cell phone and how it was taken away from her kids and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the colors on your cell phone don't exist on planet Earth. Those colors were designed. I know it's probably shocking. Give me your shocked face, please. The colors on the cell phone were designed to activate your mind and get you hooked on it like a drug. So she goes, turn it to black and white. I'm like, I could turn my phone into black and white. So I turn it to black and white, and I look at it, and I notice my mind, because I'm always thinking about this anyway. I'm like, I have no interest. And I also did something as I turned the alerts off for email. I'm not that important. Nobody needs to get a hold of me instantly and have a response in 5 minutes. And am I texting? I'm like, sometimes I'll turn it off. I'll put it on. My favorite part of the phone is airplane mode. Because I'm not, no. Now, when I was in the medical field and there was, it had to do with CAT scanners and x-ray, that's different. That had to do with medical. I'm not saving anybody's life. Most people don't have those kind of jobs.
Right.
But I'm like, no. And I like to be in silence, meditation, and sleep. It's a constant thing. Well, not sleeping all the time, but, being in that peace, being in that thing, like Kevin's saying, follow what guides you. If you're fighting it and then you go, and then if you're just simply being an automatic machine on other people's ways that they think you should be, you are an extra in their movie. You are an extra for them, but they're writing the script of their life, and their life doesn't follow your script at all.
Right.
And if you're doing that, and it's not to say you don't, of course you have bills to pay and everybody does that, I understand, but do a little bit at a time, do some research, go into something quiet, read a book, listen to this show, read his book, get on his page, understand there's so many really cool options out there and really great ideas, and link in with these people. Cause you're talking about negativity. I've eliminated all negativity. I don't go into what the negativity is. Everybody knows what it is. And if you're a family member or a friend, you kind of limit it. But you want to stay in the positive thing. You want to go to bed with it, and you want to live in it all the time. So I want to thank you again for being on the show. It's been a great conversation. We didn't go through everything. But before I go, I wanted to ask you if you could leave the audience a positive aphorism, something to leave them. You've said a lot, but something might come to mind, just saying, hey, do this. So somebody going, oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. What I want to leave with the audience is you need to search yourself and become the best version of you, because only the best version of you will change your life, change your surroundings, change your world, and change your outlook.
Beautiful. I mean, that's exactly true. Listen to what he says, visit his website, get his book. It's another person that I'm interviewing on this show that is consciously communicating from a positive. We don't have anything negative on this show. Everything's about how we can consciously communicate and what you can get out of yourself. Your inner knowing knows. And I love those words. Thank you again for being on the show today, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you. And remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.